Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 133, part one, Seeing and Telling. Today is Friday, February 12th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: our trials and our divine deliverances, seeing and telling, we are hard cases, and the waters will be watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled Seeing and Telling. And it says like this in 1 John 4 and 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Now, I think there's two things here that are put together in the text which should never, ever be separated. We have seen and do testify. I don't think any man should ever tell about anything that he has not seen. Now, hear this now. I don't think any man should testify about anything that they have not seen for themselves. If you're not personally aware of it, if we are not personally involved, don't tell about it. Because we don't know what we're talking about. So many times we can become experts and know what to say about a thing, we know nothing about the thing or about the person. And we pick up little scraps here and there, and we put together some kind of a thing, and it's wrong. You see, it's the personality of the testimony that is the power of the testimony. In other words, it is the personal involvement of the person that really makes the testimony alive and vibrant. That's like working missions. Unless that the person or persons are actively involved, actively doing the thing with the finances, with the gathering of the food, the praying, the fasting, the whole total picture and the whole total test and the whole total trial and all the tribulations that go with it. Jesus said, they were going across the, "Oh, we forgot our baskets over there." He says, "Well, have you been with it this long and you don't know what's going to happen at the next place?" Are you afraid that I can't recreate or cause it to happen a different way? Are you so bound up in your flesh that it's got to happen the same way every time? Are you afraid I won't be able to reproduce what I have produced already? Don't you think that I'll work through you if you have the faith to believe? And you aren't afraid of a little criticism? Are you afraid it'll fail at the next place and then you won't look quite as... You won't stand out, you won't be the prominent figure? I believe if you've never experienced a certain truth, leave the testimony to somebody else. Never, ever, ever judge a work until you get into the work. Never. Never judge someone doing a job. Well, that's like judging Jim there on his mechanical work. Well, let's see, you get underneath one of them buses or trucks or cars and 20 below wind chill and try to fix something down there. Well, you know, I had Jim fix this and he just didn't do a good job. I'm just wondering about his mechanical abilities. No, see, you have to be actively involved. Never judge. It's like a woman came in today. She had a daughter that was 26-year-old daughter. She had committed suicide. But I couldn't judge the girl. I couldn't judge the mother. I couldn't judge the friends. I couldn't judge the people that were involved in around this person. I don't know nothing about it. Well, the woman said she has the wrong friends. Well, I can't judge your friends. I don't know that. Well, that's just hearsay. I wasn't involved with a daughter. I wasn't involved with the friends. I wasn't involved with this mother. I don't even know the daughter. But yet, right away, my mind started to work off of what that woman had said. She had the wrong friends. And I thought, see, that's what wrong friends will do for you. Well, I didn't even know that. See, that was all hearsay. But I'd already started to form an opinion on something I didn't know nothing about. So easy to do, isn't it? And I thought to myself, what good is a preacher then that's not even born again? He has no life. How can he testify about life when he has not seen any life himself? He's blinded yet, seeing and telling. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world in 1 John 4:14. We have seen and we know. And then I got to think, well, this preacher then, or preachers, what they're giving out is all hearsay and nothing really substantial. They haven't really lived it. I believe until a preacher lives the word, he's not really giving anything out there. Can't really give out a word, see? Because it's the experience, and you know the world even says it, they say experience is the best teacher, and it is, isn't it? Repetition is too, isn't it? Now, you burn yourself 4 or 5 times, you're going to know not to put your hand on the stove for sure. The first time you think, well, that maybe wouldn't happen again, but you just do it 3 or 4 times. And it's the same way with learning. Don't we have to learn things over and over and over? Don't we have to learn about the grace of God about 50 times before it starts to sink in? That salvation is not a works, but works is the manifestation of being saved. You want to after that you are saved. But also, many have much to say about what to do on things they have never done. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about you. Oh, I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about you. Well, then you better keep quiet. It's not very convincing, is it, when someone is always preaching on a hearsay, always preaching on what someone else has to say, and really don't know for ourselves. Really believing the Word of God when it says, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. For in the manner that you judge, the manner that you mete it out, that's the same way I'm going to mete it out to you. Because you don't know what you're talking about. Whew. But anyway, it's not very convincing to others when we talk about something we don't know about. Falls flat. It's not a very good witness. It hasn't got the character, and it doesn't have the substance, and it doesn't have the life, because it doesn't have the living in the thing. I mean, to take a stand on something we don't know anything about isn't really taking a stand. That's like in court, you see, the judge says something like, did you actually see it happen? Well, answer the question, yes or no. Will you answer the question, please? And he goes on and on and on and almost takes off. No, but I sure heard about it, Judge. You didn't answer the question. Now, will you please listen to what I'm asking you? Did you actually see this? No, but I heard about it, Judge. I don't care what you heard about. And so, preacher, and so, people, we must know from whence we speak. Before we speak. And even when we know from whence we speak, we have to ask the Lord whether we should speak or not. A lot of times we speak out of turn. Now maybe you tell your kids something, you don't want them to repeat it right away. My mom said you're a slob. That kid's speaking out of turn. Now, the guy might be a slob, and what you say is the truth, and the kid can see that the guy is a slob, but he's speaking out of turn. How many hearing this word? Now, you're listening on the radio, listen to this tape, better listen to what I'm saying, because in the end times, you're going to call evil good and good evil. Bible says so. And you're going to turn in the grace of God for a legal situation, try to get better, never get better, can't, and get worse. That's like someone teaching on the baptism in the Holy Ghost without the experience. They go through the whole of the book on what someone else has written about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's only what someone else has to say about it. It doesn't hold in water. Falls flat. And I believe when we bring others to Christ, we must testify about what He has done personally in our own lives. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus has done in my life. He has shown me that I am a sinner, capital letters, billboard size, saved by grace. How many know that? Better know it, because it's the only way you can get saved. You say you come in another way, you're going in some other kind of a door, going in the back door or another window, and that's not the way to heaven. That's like some time ago, this man was telling us how to climb one of these old trees out there, one of these great big old redwood trees, see? Here comes a lumberjack with all these straps, and he's swinging with these straps and these hooks on his shoes and so on, like that, swinging down. And whilst this guy is talking about it, up he goes. Huh? Well, it looked pretty easy. Didn't it? and you can read about it, and you can have a hearsay about it, but to actually get out there and do the thing, now that's something else. It takes practice, and practice makes perfect. And I think we need to start to work out our salvation and keep our eyes on ourselves and work out our own salvation, the Bible says, with fear and trembling. Not by what someone else has said, but what by the Holy Spirit says to you. And he talks to all of us if we're listening. We're good listeners when it comes to listening for somebody else, aren't we? Man, our ears get so big we could throw them over our side of our head and look like a Frenchman walking down the road. I suppose working down here where there's a whole lot of people, and a lot of people that have been saved, and saved by the grace of God only, that have been brought back into some kind of legalism. I could be the best judge in all the world, but in the measure that I judge out, so a judge is going to judge back to me. So I think if a person has not done one thing personally for you, now go a step further. If the Lord hasn't done anything personally for you, how can you testify about Him? Why pretend to do so? But what you have seen, you should testify of. Mary had seen the risen Christ. She ran and told. Oh, hey. What right do we have to see for ourselves alone? No, you have to report. And sometimes you report, and right away it's boasting. Okay, listen. The Word of God says to go on out there and to testify and tell what the Lord has done. Don't be afraid and don't worry about what people have to say. My God, they always got something to say. Now this person came in and she was real worried about how many people liked her. Well, this one don't like me. I said, well, if they did like you, they wouldn't like you for a whole long time. We aren't made that way. It's only the grace of God that gives us the love to love one another. Because see, we're so busy loving ourselves, we haven't got time for anybody else. Is that right or is that wrong? But she wanted to get into this thing that this one don't like me and that don't like me. My kids don't like me. And God, who likes me? I says, Jesus likes you. Now it's a majority. So now go with that. Is that enough for you? Well, how do you know that? Well, I am telling you because I have seen the love of God. My own life. Then I give my testimony about what the love of God has done in my own life. I say, what He has done for others, namely myself, He'll do for you. Go tell what Jesus has done for you. Shout it from the housetops. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus has forgiven me all my sins. Wasn't that something to shout about? And I think you better preach or you get off into deadness. I don't believe God lights up your candle to be hid under a basket. It says, so let it shine before men. Let it glorify God. Well, sometimes you get your candle out there and it's nice and good and bright and somebody's going to get jealous and just start to pepper you. You hear me? Which reminds me, we've got about 600 pounds of pepper downstairs. That'll pepper up people pretty good, huh? I don't know how much that is a pound. How much is that a pound? Not to get off the subject, but I just want to know. Well, it's worth a lot of money anyway. But it's so sad, but it's so true that many have seen Jesus and never give a testimony about Him. Well, they talk about Jesus, but see, until they are actively involved, they don't know Jesus. I can get up here and preach, but if I don't work out the Word of God, I really don't know Jesus, and I'm just talking about Jesus somebody I don't really know. And until we enter into the suffering without saying, I'm suffering for God. I mean, enter in with joy and thanksgiving, enter in. It isn't going to mean anything to anybody till I enter into the works of God with joy and thanksgiving in all the trials and all the tribulations and go on above all the humbug and just continue on, keeping on and keeping on. And listen, don't worry about somebody worrying about you glorifying yourself, because there's always somebody going to be worrying about that. Have you heard what I'm preaching here tonight? Go on out and do these things, and these things that see me do, you'll do, and even greater things you will do. Well, I didn't say that. Jesus did. And it's talking about the corporate body of Christ. These things that you see the head do, the body will do also. Then the text says, we have seen and do testify. Many have seen and do not testify. Why? Why not testify? We prayed downstairs and God sent in all this food. I mean, who do you think brings in all this food? Listen, radio audience. Who do you think brings in all this food? Why, the grace of God does. But now be careful. Be very careful. Don't tell anybody about it. I have seen and I do testify that Jesus Christ brought all this food in here to give away. Mark it down. Somebody's always going to misunderstand what you're doing. I don't care. Because they're not involved. They don't know the work it takes to bring all that stuff in here. It still takes work, don't it, Randy? Don't it, Jim? Doesn't it, Carolyn? Now, if you want to get some of that glory, you come on down and carry them great big old 100-pound bags of potatoes in the cold. There's enough for everybody. Now, I'm talking to the radio audience now, because our church, for the most part, is involved. How many are hearing this? My God, let's just stop being wimps, radio audience. And let's see the works of God by doing the works of God, by the grace of God working through us, and work it out and say, we testify of what God has done through us. And don't worry about it. Because we're headed for times like you've never seen before. Well, I talked to someone some time back that I said, I'll never enter into this water baptism. I said, well, hey, I'm not asking you to enter into anything, but I'm going to give you a testimony about what happened in my life after that I was water baptized. Because it has some kind of usefulness because it's in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to tell you you have to do it, but I'm going to tell you and I'm going to testify of what I have seen in my own life through the water baptism, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have seen and I do testify. Because if I hide those talents and I bury those talents, someday I'm going to have to give an account. And an account will have to be made.
Well, I didn't want to say anything of what I seen, and I didn't want to give a testimony because I thought I might just be kind of elevating self a little bit, Lord.
Are you hearing this? I've heard so much of that, I'm just turning my stomach now. Say amen, somebody.
What God has put together, let no man put asunder.
Now, God's put a work together. Don't let nobody put it asunder. Dolores, you got a bread run down there, and you got people loving you, and you were so proud you got this flower. Have you got that flower on, Dolores? Well, why do you wear that flower? I mean, you're giving glory to yourself wearing that flower because these people like you and everything. See this flower here? They gave her this flower because she goes out in the cold every day and gets herself all numb and cold and everything, and she enjoys what she's doing, looks 20 years younger when I first met her. That gives glory to God. And she'd been wearing this little old flower. I tried to smell it, but of course it isn't real. She let me smell it too, 4 or 5 times. Then she told me it wasn't real. But I thought, now I could have told her, I'd say, oh, now you're wearing that flower. You think you're some kind of a smarty pants wearing that flower? No. Praise God. You wore that flower because somebody gave it to you and said, Dolores, we want you to be part of the family of this grocery store, and we want you to wear that flower. Now, you keep wearing that flower until it wilts. Of course, it never will wilt. Are you understanding what I'm saying here tonight? Oh, I like to give a real hard message in grace. How to be graceful. And I want it to stick because it's the only way you can receive the love of God by giving grace to people. And mercy and forgiveness and going on and minding your own dang business. Say amen, somebody, radio audience. Say, listen. We have seen and we do testify that even though we have no money, God is able. And there can be no divorce in this. What you see, you better testify about. Oh, if we see something we don't like, don't we testify about it? And my word, I never. Don't we? Why is that? That's something that's, you know, we can testify about something that's bad, but not good. Why is that so hard? Now, we're talking tonight here about a little apostolic seeing here. John and his fellow apostles said, we have seen and we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Look how clear it is. That which was from the beginning. Now, this is the apostle speaking. That which was of the beginning. Listen. Which we have heard, and they heard from the Lord, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now they're talking about Jesus. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now, we know it's saying what we're talking about because we've seen and we do testify that this man is God. Sent of the Father. And not only that, we have handled the word of life. And here we have these men that were chosen to dwell with Jesus Christ, to see his miracles, to hear his teaching, come forward with a clear witness. No, I think our witness needs to be loud and clear. Now, you've been around Jesus. You're going to be doing some lifting up and some clearing up and some cheering up, especially if you're down here on the north side. They tell that which they have seen. How many have seen the glory of God in your own lives? That which they have heard. Oh, have you heard the Lord's voice? And that small, still voice. And that which they have looked upon. Oh, now, hey. Well, how can we do that? You look on somebody suffering, brothers and sisters, you're looking on Jesus, and you look at somebody, Jan, when you go out to the jails out there, and you're looking on Jesus. And you look to someone that's a widowed, and you're looking on Jesus, and you look at somebody that's in human misery and suffering, and you're looking on Jesus, and Jesus said, don't judge them. I came here not to kill people, I came here to save them, and you're knocking them off faster than I can get them saved. And then they go a little further. That which they have handled. They actually touched the Savior. The first place here, it says they had heard of Christ. Never man spake like this man. His voice they knew. And for more than 3 years, they saw him daily and they saw him constantly. And we can do the same thing. Sometimes it says they even gazed upon him intently. In the original Greek, they fixed a stare on him. Now, I know a little bit about people. And I know if you want to know a person, first you've got to know them. And you've got to know them by you fix your stare on them. You fix your stare up. You never forget them. You just, like camera. And you fix your stare on them. I'm not talking about gawking. Now, I'll venture to say there's a lot of kids that don't even know what colors their mother's and their father's eyes are altogether. They're either blue or they're brown. They don't know the shades of it because they've never fixed their stare on them. Well, then when you go to close your eyes, you don't know what that person looks like. Unless you open up your eyes and look at the children of God and all the people that are out there, you're not going to see the human suffering because you just pass on by it. Are you born again? Going to hell. And you never fix your stare on them. You never see their need. Neither do you care about their need. Radio audience, I'm talking about fixing your stare, gazing intently upon the suffering, and fixing your stare upon people. Isn't that right? Shouldn't we do that? I think so. You're not going to reach anybody by judging them. Do you know Jesus? You don't? Okay. No, get out of here. You're going to hell then. Well, that might be true. That's true of anybody, isn't it? But did you fix your gaze upon the person? Did you care about the person? See, you're really looking at Jesus when you look at human suffering. Because where there's suffering, that's where Jesus is going to be. Now, how many hearing this? Oh, God. Gaze upon Jesus. Well, here we have John. that had seen him at the Mount of Transfiguration and on the cross. And he says in the gospel when writing, listen to how sure he is of the soldier piercing Christ's side. He that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith is true. And if we take the Word of God and handle it rightly, I'm talking about the grace message, and we handle it rightly. See, now, if you're busy receiving grace and forgiveness for yourself, and you need it 24 hours a day, let me tell you, your heart is going to be filled with that message because you're saying, uh-oh, wrong attitude, wrong motive, I'll stinko. And you're going to have to receive it to yourself, and that's what you're going to give away. And until we really see our own need for the daily need of grace, the daily need, the continuing on in the saving of our souls, and I'm not talking about the eternal salvation, I'm talking about saving from this and saving from that and bringing out of this and God working on us. How are we ever going to minister to somebody else? Because here the apostles were the hearers and the seers of Christ. Besides, they handled him. After he had risen, he said like this, come behold my hands and feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. A lot of times people think that they're so spiritual, they're never hardly even in the flesh. Well, going on with the message now, and I hear a lot of people say, I wish I would have had such an evidence. Then I would really believe. I mean, I could really speak with much more confidence if I really had put my hand into the holes in his side, if I had really seen him and I really heard his voice. No. Not the mere hearing of Christ would not convince anybody. Thousands heard and turned away. And during the millennial reign, I'll tell you right now, that there'll be a great turning away. Many thousands saw him, the Bible said, and they went their old merry ways. So you see, that hasn't got nothing to do with it, has it? They didn't see, what? His glory. You know, a lot of times the enemy will see the glory of God, and the church people, they won't see the glory of God because they're too busy looking for self-glory. And when they hung him on the cross, they all saw that. You know what? They all hated him because of the truth that he brought. And it says in the Bible, they sneered and they leered. And oh yes, they handled him. They jammed a crown of thorns upon his head, cut off his beard, ripped his ears half off, and scourged him. But did all of this handling convince anybody? No. Because we're doing the same thing to the suffering people of this world right now. And when we do it to the suffering world right now, we're doing it to Christ. Where were you when I was sick and a widowed? Where were you when I was in the prison? Where were you when I was a hungered? Well, we didn't know those things. Well, I'm telling you, done to at least mine, done to me. Where were you? Well, where are we? Now, the fact here is that faith comes not merely by the ear or the eye or the hand. It is flashed into the soul by the Holy Ghost. Pre-adventure then, through the air, but always directly by the Spirit of God opening up the heart. You never know anything until God opens up your heart. No. You can hear it. And you can read it. And you can handle the Word of God. Handle it. A lot of times we can handle it. You know we handle it? How do you handle the Word of God? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can handle the Word of God. Radio audience, tape audience. You can handle. I got this Bible in my hands. I'm handling the Word of God. And you can hear the Word of God. But it's not until the Word is worked in you. It's not until you live, not until you become the walking, talking epistles, known and read of all men, will you actively become involved and people see Christ in you and you are the walking, talking manifestation. You start to manifest the works of Christ are made manifest through you. Then you kind of get kind of fanatical, see? And then people say, well, you're fanatical. Well, because you want to get that job done. And you know, when you get into this, and we get into this, folks, people will not understand it. Because it's a whole total new movement. You just, well, I don't understand. Nobody asked people to understand. They asked you to obey the Lord. You just do that. Even the world does that. I do what comes naturally. Shouldn't we do what comes naturally? Shouldn't we do the next thing, like we were talking about last week? Just do the next thing, all right? Are you hearing this? All this handling did not convince them, no, not one iota. But these apostles had another sense, didn't they? A spiritual sense. And if they didn't have that spiritual sense, they would still remain unbelievers. You know what a believer is? That's a person that's already believed. Then he becomes a believer. And so you see, they had no advantage over us whatsoever. We are all prepared by the Holy Ghost to receive, and to receive no other way can we receive. We receive by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so all of us who truly know the Lord may say, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Know how we need to give people that good news. See, it's not good news until you live. It's got to be a day. How would you like to get a newspaper, the same newspaper, every day? Now, what newspaper you got there? Oh, we got the 1952 news. There's a lot of people living in the 1950s now. You can go to the 50s cafe and the 50s this and the 50s cars and all that. How would you like to get a 1952 newspaper this, January 1st, 1952, and have the same news and read the same news over and over and over again? Well, it's the same way when you give out the good news. It's the good news in the 53, 54, 55, and so on. And it's the good news in 19. But it's a different time, isn't it? Aren't we living in a different time than what was in 1952? I got out of the service in 1952. This is a much different time. Boy, that seems like a long time ago. That's because it is a long time ago. I can still remember going out to get my discharge.
And I had this old chains I had on in 1949. I got discharged out of Minneapolis and never did leave. And this chain was whipping on this great big old eight-cylinder convertible Chrysler I had. I still remember. But it was a different time, wasn't it, in my life? See, sometimes we can get locked in on a truth. And we're so locked into that, God can't show us anything. How many know we're living in changing times? How many know that the Lord says, behold, in the end, I'm going to do a new thing. A new thing. It's a brand new thing. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take people that have a mind to work, because there's going to be all kinds of spirits out there just waiting to defeat you and pull you down. Say amen, somebody. Don't you let it happen to you. No. But see, it's a new time, isn't it? And we need to take the Word of God and apply it, the same Word of God, and apply it, but we're applying it to a whole new scene. Will it work? Oh, yes, it'll work. It will work. No, we don't have to invent something. We don't have to invent something. We don't have to capture something somebody else gives. We have to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Going out into the world and preach the glorious gospel unto all creation. Huh? Don't you think we ought to preach from experience? Don't you think we ought to be on fire for the Lord? And so I got good news here. I haven't got good advice. I got good news. We have the good news, and we are being transformed daily, translated out of this present evil world from past sins and from, I believe, present inner conflicts. And I think there's a whole lot of people walking around with present inner conflicts. Aren't you glad that the good news goes beyond your soiled souls? Aren't you glad that we have a gospel that goes beyond our soiled life? And that aren't you glad that we all have a destiny of being like Jesus Christ? Isn't that news? Isn't that good news? I believe there's a couple of views in religion. Only a couple. I believe that they all fall into these two categories. Those that give good advice and those that bring good news, glad tidings. There are really no other divisions. But note this, in the good news is good advice. The best advice. The good news is not mere good views, but when you accept the good news, all the good views are ready to be unfolded, and they'll unfold for you one at a time. Are you ready?
So if you tell a tale.